all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, world. Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and it is my privilege and honor to be talking to you today from the studios of WAAM, Talk Radio 1600, right here in beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it looks like our football team is doing fairly well, at least the local one. I'm not sure what the Lions are doing right now. I'm sure they're probably playing the same way that they normally do, which is unfortunate. Anyway, we want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. It's a very exciting program for us. We're going to, in our second half of the program, we're going to continue in our series of programs offering help to veterans that are, you know, having some issues when they get home. Maybe they're suffering from post-traumatic stress and their families and so on. And it's kind of a neat idea. We're going to be talking with a program that's called Be a Hero to Yours. And this is put on by Canito Corporation. And they've got this online sort of a simulation test that you could take to see what skills you need to work on or how you can help each other out in this. And I'm really excited to talk to them about their program, and that's in the second half of this program today. But coming up after our break is we're going to be talking with the Reverend Bill McDonald, who is the founder of the Military Writers Society of America, and one of the members there is Maureen McGill, and they're both going to be talking about their new books that they have out, but also about the Writers Conference that was in Phoenix just, I think, 2 weeks ago now. But the topic of their books is really interesting because they're both spiritual journeys. Bill's is called Warrior, A Spiritual Odyssey, and Maureen's is called Baby, It's You, Messages from Deceased Heroes. So I'm kind of excited to hear more about that. And so we're going to be having them on the program in about 2 or 3 minutes. But and I want to remind everybody, if you'd like to get in on the conversation here on Veterans Radio, you can give us a call right here live in the studio at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600, and that's in southeastern Michigan. If you don't want to pay for the call, it's 844-838-1600. That's 844-838-1600. So we're going to be taking a real quick break, and we'll be right back with Reverend Bill McDonald and Maureen McGill. And you're listening to Remember to Veterans Radio. Remember, all gave some gave all. Always remember.
He's 5 foot 2 and he's 6 feet 4. He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. Been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Lobau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's a universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away.
And we're back on Veterans Radio listening to Donovan a little bit there. And I played that song because of our guests coming up, both of them, actually. And first of all, I want to welcome back to Veterans Radio. It's been a long time since we've talked with Reverend Bill McDonald. And Bill is a poet, a writer, he's a little bit of everything. He was a crew chief door gunner on a Huey UH-1D model in 1966-67 with 128th Assault Helicopter Company, the Tomahawks, and he was awarded numerous medals, including the DFC, Distinguished Flying Cross, Bronze Star, 14 Air Medals, and the Purple Heart. He is also the founder of the Military Writers Society of America, and he is also the founder of another book group, which is, where did it go? Oh, well, I know it's on here somewhere. But anyway, Bill McDonald, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty of all those things and much more. The bio's grown by about 3 pages in the last couple of years. And
well,
now, believe it or not, I'm entertaining an invite from a group of Russian veterans to go to Russia to deal with PTSD veterans from the Afghan War.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I think
that's
just
a little sidelight.
Yeah, that is so cool, Bill. And as I said, I played that song because of having you on the program since you had been in Vietnam. But also, I played it before for our other guest, and that is Maureen McGill. Maureen, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for welcoming us here on the show. It's an honor to be here with Bill McDonald, who wrote this amazing book called Warrior: A Spiritual Odyssey.
That's very true. But your book sounds like it's pretty interesting, too. It's called Baby, It's You, Messages from Dead Deceased Heroes. And one of the things that you mentioned in the publicity piece that came from it was how music triggers some of the things that we think about as that, or as people anyway. I mean, you know, if we hear a song from when we were a teenager or when we were in the service or when we were in college and so forth, it brings back a lot of those memories, some of them good, some of them not so good. But
you know, it certainly does, and you know, that Donovan song brings back so many memories of the war. I remember that song coming on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And in my little book, every story is attached to a song, which was the couple's song that they, when they fell in love, they had this song that was their song together. And it's amazing how that song might come on the radio, maybe in church, maybe in the elevator, maybe wherever they are, to get that message from their loved one to know that they're still around. Kind of a cool thing to have that vibration of music coming through.
I know. I'm anxious to read your book. It has just been has just come out, and is it actually on the market yet, or is it November 1st?
Actually, it's on the market now. The publisher is Ozark Mountain Publishing, and it's on the market with Ozark, and it's on its way here to Amazon, and it will be on Kindle just about any day now.
Okay.
So it's very close.
Right. It's on my waiting list, so it'll show up on my Kindle as soon as it gets there. All right. I'm excited about that. I want to go back to Bill and both of you. I want to talk a little bit about the Military Writer Society of America's conference that was in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago. And, Bill, can you tell me a little bit about the military writers, and then let's tell about our audience a little bit about what happened in Phoenix.
Well, I tell you what, Phoenix was another one of those beautiful gathering of friendship and fellowship. It's interesting when you get a group of people that have the same interest, in this particular case being the genre of military. We work with the hospitals, the VA hospitals, and wherever we had the conferences at. I mean, last year we donated $18,000 worth of books to the VA hospital there in Phoenix and $15,000 worth to Dayton the year before. I figure we've donated now probably $50,000 worth of books since we've been around to VA hospitals, which is significant. And we also put on a writer's conference for the veterans that were there, teaching them writing skills and stuff. And we had school-age children, military dependents show up as well. So we had a big group, and we gave that to the community of Phoenix. And great things I was learning there. In fact, we had one guy show up, Dr. Frederick Foote. Now, this is a guy you probably should have on your show. He's an award-winning poet. He's a doctor at in Elizabeth, Maryland, at the big military hospital there.
Walter
and
Reed.
He's got a project. He's got a project that takes poetry and creativity, and it's called the Warrior Poetry Project at Walter Reed Hospital, and he's spreading that across the United States, getting guys to use poetry and writing to help the PTSD. So another interesting character. And we also had a Korean War vet show up that wrote a book, In the Land of Darkness was his book. That was Arthur Harmeyer, about 90 years old. And he he was welcomed with open arms, and it was just a wonderful experience for him. So, yeah, Military Writers was really running on all wheels and cylinders this last month. It was a wonderful experience.
Well, Maureen, what would you say was the highlight of the conference for you this time?
I think it was the camaraderie that all of these writers coming together and sharing their ideas and sharing their input about writing, the different perspectives of either writing about historical perspectives of war or maybe fiction about war. Everyone shared their connections, how they, you know, initiated ideas for their projects. And Jack London gave a terrific demonstration on writing and projects on writing and, you know, structures on writing. So it was really a great workshop.
All right, let's talk. Why we got Maureen on the phone? I read the manuscript on that and was so mesmerized by the subject matter, because, you know, this is right up my field.
Right.
That I wrote the foreword for the book, and it is compelling reading. It's just totally seat of the pants, you know, chills up the back kind of stories to read. Each one's an independent thing by itself. I think it's going to be a huge tool that PTS families, Gold Star families, and people that have lost loved ones in any war, or even lost loved ones, reading this book will actually inspire them and bring them some peace.
Well, Maureen, what was it that motivated you to write this particular book?
You know, I wish I could know what that motivation was. I had a career here in the field of dance, believe it or not. I'm a dance professor at a university. Just recently retired here now in June, but I've always believed that the awareness extends beyond the body, and my themes of choreography in the last few years have been military themes. I don't really know where that comes from, but my heart has always gone out to veterans and the service that they do for this country. My heart has always gone out to the young widows and young mothers that lose loved ones that don't really come back from the war, and I kind of believe that love thread continues even after the body passes over. So it's kind of dealing with that other consciousness that I became interested in it, and then I wanted to go further on this idea.
Can you give me an example of one of these messages that came back?
You know, I could give you an example. One of the neat things is in the book is how the couples meet, and, you know, maybe they met in high school at a wrestling tournament, or maybe they met at Walmart where they worked, or maybe they met at Instant Messenger, but now they might meet in a dream where the dream feels so real that, you know, the hair on their skin is just up. And maybe they meet in the hallway when she smells him. She can actually come through the senses where she can actually smell him. Or maybe they get a message where they find pennies on the ground. I used to kind of think, Dale, that was kind of bogus. Oh, you just find pennies on the ground and you take it from them. But when you hear the story of how they actually find those pennies, it's just like remarkable. So I think it's just interesting how the communication can come through the senses, and it does that in the story.
Well, I know that I'm sure Bill does the same thing. I mean, there are many senses that are kind of electrified when you hear something or you see something, or when I go past a Vietnamese restaurant, I'll smell the nook mam or the fish sauce, and I go right back to 1969. And it's kind of, I have to shake my head to get out of it. So is this the type of thing that you're talking about?
It's exactly the type of thing I'm talking about. It's that sensory awareness that kind of triggers these memories and triggers really a time and triggers the connection that we have actually with the other side. I believe it's also with the other side that we can connect with our loved ones. Now, not everybody can, but sometimes our loved ones will come to us in a dream and the dream will just feel so real, you know.
They are. They are. You know, the story that you're telling me is when I was in Vietnam and I was getting really stressed out about things and we were losing aircraft and so on and so forth. And one night my father visited me, and he had been dead for 8-9 years already. And I could feel his presence. I could feel him sitting on the end of the bunk. And when I opened my eyes and he was sitting there, he just looked at me. And the only thing he said is, "Don't worry, it's not your time."
Wow, that's really powerful.
And that was, you know, and I haven't had a conversation with him since. So it's, you know, it really did kind of, you know, I mean, it was upsetting, but it was also so relieved, so much anxiety that, you know, it made you feel that somebody was watching over you.
Exactly, and you had a connection. It's
yeah.
almost a love connection of your dad really protecting you at that time, you know,
wow.
when you really needed to hear that message.
I guess I did, and it obviously worked because here I am.
That's terrific.
Bill, I want to make sure we talk a little bit about your book too. At the same time.
Well, you know me. I'm never about promoting myself. In fact, military writers, if you notice the 15-year history of the group, I've never promoted my book, and this is the first time I even brought copies of any of my books to a conference that somebody could actually buy, and I end up giving away a lot of them.
I know you do that, and sometimes your humility gets in the way of letting people know.
Here's the deal with my book. This book, Warrior, Spiritual Odyssey, I'm taking the proceeds from that, and that's helping finance the work I'm doing for my veteran community, my Spiritual Warrior projects,
mm-hmm.
Including lobbying the state capital of California and my Congress for benefits and things for veterans. And I'm traveling around the country doing workshops for PTSD veterans, funerals, weddings, all kinds of things. So I have something going on the side. I'm not an official charity, but that's where my money goes. It's out of my pocket. I'm losing money. But you know the love of doing something you like your radio show. You do it.
Absolutely. We haven't made a penny on it, but we love it.
That's it. So you do it because it's the Dharma. It's the mission. It's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the military writers is around. And anyway, the book Warrior, Spiritual Odyssey, which is, I'm getting a lot of interest in this thing. And what happened is I got a new book that's at the editor right now as we're talking. The last week it's been at the editors. And I've had 3 agents contact me. One's calling me on Tuesday for a video conference. One's calling me about 2 days later from New York, from a big agency there. And one calling from Texas. So I got 3 people interested in doing this new book, which is interesting because I haven't really sold much of my first book. I got a lot of famous people who read my first book. And a lot of people critically like it, but it's not a moneymaker. But the second book will take it to the next step, and hopefully then I'll have more money to do more things for veterans. That's my main thing.
Well,
get the
I think
out and go out and service veterans.
Well, I think we all, you know, we all do whatever we can, and it seems to be more and more. There are more and more people that want to get involved in helping veterans, and we've got our own little thing that we're trying to do here on Veterans Radio, talk about all these different treatments that are available for people that are suffering from post-traumatic stress. We kind of started the motto here. We're going to do post-traumatic stress, drop the D. We don't like the idea of people labeling everybody that suffers from post-traumatic stress to, you know, have a disorder and, oh my goodness, oh, they must be, you know, they can't do things or they can't, you know, can't manage in life. But you mentioned earlier on, or one of you mentioned the idea of the artist. Or no, it was
yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about that you're going off and doing the writing workshops at the
yep.
Phoenix
yep.
thing. And we've had somebody on the program a couple of weeks ago that we're talking about a veteran to artist program of painting and so forth.
Well, let me you want to know the background of all this?
Go ahead.
Back when I had my first major heart surgery, I got out of my sick bed after I just got stents in, 5 stents. The next morning, I got up and flew to Detroit, Michigan, and then I went to Kellogg. And I worked with the VA because they bought me an airline ticket. It wasn't refundable. And I did a TV show for public television for PBS called The Art of Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a program on how you could use art, writing, poetry, music, dance, all these various forms of creative thinking and creativeness to deal with PTSD. I wrote the program, 3 volumes in binders, and gave it to them along with the video, and they sat on it for years. And when I questioned them about it, because they took the copyrights, they said that they were afraid to bring it out because too many people would show up saying they had PTSD and they didn't have the budget for it. But anyway, when I went to Dayton, Ohio a number of years ago to the VA there, they brought out this program and was talking it as a new program. And then I looked at it, I wrote it.
Hey, I recognize that.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm familiar with this. Anyway, so it's happening now. And one of the other ideas I had, which I don't know if you've talked to anybody about this, but one of it was to expand past the arts to include things like fly fishing, surfing, swimming, dance.
Yeah, we've got a lot of events that are going around here in the Great Lakes where they take them out, you know, bass
even
fishing
golfing.
All these things
take focus away from the PTSD. It opens
right.
up the mind because it goes into a creative place.
Well,
so that's kind of my pet thing over the next. I'm happy that it's being taken by others, and no credit is due me. I don't care. Because if you actually go back to this thing, even after World War II, they were using art as therapy for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just took it a step further and made it more inclusive and actually wrote a program. But I'm happy it's going, and I'm seeing this as the future. And I'm one of these people out there, and I'm probably all alone on this, but I really don't buy into this. Once you have PTSD, it's forever. I do believe in miracles. I do believe in cures. I do believe in healing. And I'm saying, Some people get over it.
I agree. Or at least they learn how to live with it without it controlling their lives.
Yeah. So I think it's like anything else. Accommodation, living with it, as you point out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we got a generation out there of Iraqi vets that we really need to step up and help. And Vietnam vets most especially should stand up and take a bow, because they have been at the forefront of the help that these guys are getting.
Well, we are going to continue the fight, Bill, with you and everybody else that's out there. I want to come back to Maureen, because I've only got a couple of minutes left. And I just love the concept of the book. And you mentioned that you were a dancer and that you just have always loved veterans, which is nice to know, and that you just came up with this idea. I think it's a great idea.
I always feel like the arts has always reduced the patient's level of the depression or anxiety or whatever. And, you know, we're a situation now where we medicate on every level.
Right.
And why can't we medicate with the arts? You know, why can't we medicate with writing and poetry and the kinds of projects that, you know, is happening now at Walter Reed, you know, at that level that Dr. Foote has created there in integrative medicine. So there's so many options for us to get in touch with our emotions. It doesn't always have to be through the medication, but, of course, we need that as well, you know.
Right, yeah, and you talk to all these young men and women that are going through VA, you know, mental health clinics and so forth, and they're getting drugged up all over the place. And I think the idea that people just care about them, this is the message that we're trying to get out, is that there are people out there that care about you, and we're very concerned, and we want to do whatever we can to help you have a better life. And I think that's the direction. It seems like, Bill, that the Vietnam veterans are taking the lead in this. And I talked
Absolutely.
To a lot of these young Afghan, Iraq veterans, and they're just so thankful that we're there to help them with all these buddy-to-buddy programs and so forth, where, you know, Vietnam veterans are mentoring the veterans that are coming home today.
You know, we're all doing what
we can. We had a couple of rappers who came to the Military Writers Society of America that happened to be performing, and they're veterans. Maybe Bill can speak a little bit more on their journey, but they've created a rapping kind of a salute to all of their warriors that are within their unit to take this oath against suicide, and one of the highest statistics in suicide in this particular unit, and now they've created this whole rapping song and music and rhythms to say, hey, let's not do this. Let's be together. We love each other. You know, we can be here.
Right, and that's the message that we have to get across to them. That, you know, the idea is that you had your back. You know, we had your back when you were there. We have your back now that you're home. I'm sorry that we're running out of time, Bill. I want to make sure that people look you up as Reverend Bill McDonald Jr. He's founder of Military Writers Society. His book is entitled Warrior: A Spiritual Odyssey. It's kind of his life story. I wanted to get into it more, and maybe, Bill, maybe we can have you back again time. And Maureen McGill's book is Baby, It's You. It's Messages from Deceased Heroes, and it's talking about things that kind of just wake us up every once in a while and take us back to another time and place in our lives. I want to thank you both very much for being on Veterans Radio today.
Thank you so much.
God bless you and what you're doing there.
Thank you very much,
Bill. Thank you for the work you're doing.
All right. Thank you, Maureen. Both of these books are available on Amazon.com, so make sure that you go to that. You can go to the Veterans Radio website, and you can click on the book covers, and it'll take you to Amazon. When we come back, we're going to be talking about another program to help out veterans that are coming home from war, and they need the help, and we want to make sure that they get the help that they need. So stick around after the news. We'll be right back after this. You are listening to Veterans Radio. Back on Veterans Radio, and joining me on the line right now is Glenn Albright, who is the Cognito co-founder and director of research. Cognito is launched a new program called Be a Hero to Yours. They also have a program that I was just doing here, is a role play situation or simulation for military families, and I'm anxious to find out all about the program and how this is going to help us out. So Glenn, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Oh, Dale, thanks a lot for having me, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Thank you very much, and looks like thank you for the work that you do.
Well, that's kind of you.
Well, this is kind of neat. Well, tell me a little bit about your company first, and then we'll get into the family of heroes.
Okay, Cognito is a New York City-based company that develops digital learning experiences where people are prepared to really learn how to manage difficult and challenging conversations. And this is accomplished by placing people in a virtual environment, you know, an online environment, mm-hmm. where they interact with virtual humans that have emotions and memory and personality, and they will react like real people. So it's in role-playing or practicing these conversations that you gain the skill and the self-confidence to have these conversations in real life.
Okay. And so we're going to take this program and now, or a program, to help the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, correct?
Correct. Well, it can be for any veteran. It doesn't have to be Iraq or Afghanistan.
Okay. So this is for any veteran. I just started doing the simulation, and it looks like it's pretty cool.
It is. There's several simulations that we have made available to support military services personnel and veterans. The one that I think you referred to on the introduction is called Family of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rather large national campaign that's being conducted now, a grassroots campaign where we're trying to get the word out about Family of Heroes, for it really enables families to become very well aware of the problems that occur or can occur in the transition process home, how to talk to their veteran, how to identify signs of post-deployment stress, or depression, or thoughts of suicide. And if your family member is experiencing some of these symptoms, how do you engage them? How do you approach them? How do you talk to them in a way where, if necessary, you can motivate them to support services?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you have a goal here, Be a Hero to Yours, which is running now through Veterans Day. And can you tell us a little bit about that program?
Sure. Actually, it extends to the end of the year.
Okay.
And we want to reach this goal of training a significant number of people by Veterans Day. But the program is going to be made available free of charge. It's a one-hour learning simulation where family members have three different conversations within the learning experience. The first one, you're taking the role of the wife, and your husband, Dave, comes home after multiple deployments in Iraq, and this time he's different. He's manifesting signs of PTSD, mild TBI. And your major challenge within this conversation is to learn how to apply evidence-based communication strategies in how to de-escalate an argument, because we know that people with PTSD manifest signs of being numb. They're more frequently easily to anger. So learning how just to manage an argument facilitates the relationship. The second conversation, you're taking the role of a husband, and your wife comes home from a very successful deployment in Afghanistan. She made important decisions. She was responsible for a large amount of equipment. But when she comes home, she's having difficulty reengaging with the family. And even her youngest doesn't recognize her as the mother. So your role as the father is to manage that challenging conversation, or the husband, rather, and to get her to reengage with the family. And the last one is last on purpose, because we scaffold the learning. And you take the role of the mother, and your son comes home, and he's getting into a fight with bars, he's suicidal, and he needs immediate intervention. He needs a referral. So by the time you go through all three conversations, you do have the confidence, the skill, the capability to manage these types of conversations and other difficult ones with your veteran loved one. And the evidence is out there. There's empirical studies supporting it. As a matter of fact, this simulation is in the National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practice, which is a federal registry. So we want people to take it all across the country to really gain some insight into what goes on in veteran families, to be part of this grassroots efforts, to go to the site, to, you know, put it on their Facebook, Twitter, to really get the word out that you have a valuable resource here that gives you the experience and the role play to be effective in these conversations and to better understand that veteran experience.
Well, it sounds like a great program, and I want to get into it a little bit more in just a second. We're talking with Glenn Albright, who's a PhD in a PhD in what?
Psychology.
That's good. That's good to know, right? Not a PhD in English Lit. Nothing wrong with that. All my English Lit friends out there that have PhDs. So I just want to make sure to. I live in Ann Arbor. You know, we got all kinds of people. The University of Michigan, and so that to be, well, at least we'll find out if people are listening, right? Glenn, tell me how you came upon this idea. I mean, is this something that you have done ever since you started practicing, or what?
Well, Cognito is really a type of company in which you're training, or not, you're giving people the capability to manage challenging conversations in the areas of mental health. And I'm a psychologist. The people within the company have a very fine appreciation for the human condition and how it can be improved. And so our simulations not only are for veterans, they're for primary care physicians to be able to identify and talk with patients who are experiencing psychological distress and so on. So it's a whole culture within the company that kind of builds on itself and allows us to be, you know, really very interested in veterans. Several of our people are veterans themselves, and so it just was a natural fit.
Well, it certainly seems like that, and I really would encourage people to go to your website, and I don't know, which website do you want to go to? Do you want to go to Family of Heroes or yours?
Yeah, you know, one of the best places to start with the Family of Heroes is to go to www.cognito, that's spelled with a K, KOGNITO.com/news. And that will take you right into a nice introduction into this grassroots effort, and then also give you free access to the Family of Heroes digital experience.
Okay. We have to take a quick break here, but I want to remind our audience, if you have any questions for Glenn, I think this program is something that many, many people could benefit from, not just veterans, it sounds like. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the program and maybe go into a little bit more detail. So the number here is 734-822-1600 or toll-free 844-838-1600. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this very short message.
Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill,
but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and it seems like everything I'm choosing today is that we're on the eve of destruction or something along those lines. It goes back to the first part of our program, Glenn, when we were talking about messages that
right.
the music and everything gives us. But we're talking with Glenn Albright, who is the co-founder and director of research at Cognito Corporation, and the website is cognito.com/news to get more information on these simulation programs that they offer to people, not only for mental health training, which I think is really important. This is what I wanted to ask you about, is you must have interviewed many, many veterans and their families to come up with this program.
Certainly. This program actually was developed in partnership with the Veterans Integrated Service Network right here in New York, Lower New York, Long Island, and most of New Jersey. So in the process of developing the program, we talked with dozens of subject matter experts, including individuals from the National Center for PTSD, many experts within the VA here, and then, you know, well over 100 end users to make sure that this represents what really happens, the stories or real stories that happened, which ones are most representative, most helpful, and so they generalize into a large range of concerns. The process involves a very, very comprehensive needs analysis and testing, all ensuring that what we put out works. It has to work. You can't mess with this.
Yeah, you do. Could you? I know we talked a little bit about this earlier on, but I want to kind of go through it again with our audience. So maybe that there's somebody out there listening can say, "Oh, my husband, wife, girlfriend, son, daughter are exhibiting some of these behaviors." So what is it that we're looking for when the soldier comes home?
Well, that's just it. It can be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we're seeing is somewhere to 20-25% coming back, according to some of the most recent data, are experiencing signs of post-deployment stress, substance use, depression, and suicide. And then the remaining, you know, are coming back, and they're not having those experiences. But what really particularly concerns family members and friends is if your loved one begins to manifest symptoms, what do you do? And often families are overwhelmed. You know, they're thinking that their loved one's going to come back and things are going to return to normal. And you and I know that never happens.
Right.
You're always different from many different aspects. You go out as an 18-year-old, and you come back with someone who's had phenomenal experiences, and you're going to be different. And so what are these signs? What do I look for? How do I talk to the person I care about so they don't feel alienated, so they feel safe to talk to me? How can I listen to them? And then ultimately, where do I refer them to?
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about FOH is it detects where you're located, the general area, and you can get the local resources that you can go to. You can call for help or you can make a referral. And the data shows that those individuals who complete the training are significantly more likely to talk to their veteran and to motivate them to seek help. And almost double the control group in the study actually went to the VA and started therapy. So you're making an impact, which is really important, obviously.
It is extremely important because we want these men and women to know that there is help available for them, and then it's not bad to ask for help, and I think that's the message that so many people come back with. And well, you know, people aren't interested in hearing what I went through and so forth, and their families kind of, you know, they're treading on eggshells because they don't know, you know, what to ask us or how to ask us. Because they're afraid we're going to, you know, I don't know what, you know, get mad, get quiet, go to our room, you know, do all the other symptoms that are exhibited when people are trying to deal with some of these stressful things that they have seen. Nobody's supposed to see these things in such a, you know, constricted or confined time period. I think that's one of the things that messes with your head so much.
Right. When you think of it, what veterans have gone through, it's kind of like a normal response to have signs or symptoms of post-deployment stress. I mean, you're supposed to if you get exposed to this. And it is really very courageous for someone to seek help. And this is the type of help that will follow you for the rest of your life. And we're not only talking about Iraq and Afghanistan. We're seeing, as you know, a huge surge of Vietnam veterans that are that need and hopefully are turning for help.
I see a lot more of my friends that are looking for help, and there's a lot more support groups that are being set up, trying to help each other around. I mentioned earlier a program in our area called Buddy to Buddy, where you're just there. It's sort of like an AA type of thing where, if you've got a problem, here's somebody you can call that can help them, and we all have to go through this training.
It's funny you say that, because we just released a program, a peer-to-peer training experience, where it's called Together Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the website, www.cognito/demos, and go into the Together Strong, all of a sudden you're helping a buddy. You're helping a buddy who may be having a problem at a job. You're helping a buddy who's struggling with depression. And by the way, if you learn how to help someone, you're more likely to get help for yourself.
Right, because maybe you'll actually recognize some of the symptoms.
Absolutely.
And you go, I've got it.
And you end up destigmatizing it. You end up, kind of like understanding where the stigma comes from and how to overcome it. So, you do seek help. Help you deserve. You earned.
That was cognito.com/what?
Demos, D-E-M-O-S.
Okay. Hold on, folks. You're talking to the person who is not technologically challenged, let's put it that way. But I'm working on it here. I just got an email from a friend of ours in Australia. They have a program there down there called Mates for Mates.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I don't know if you heard at the beginning, but Reverend McDonald has been asked to meet with some Russian veterans in Russia to talk with them about some of the problems that they've had from their various conflicts that they've been involved in. So it's not just confined to the United States. We're not the only warriors out there that come home with some of these issues.
Absolutely. And, it's going to take a global effort to change the culture, to change people's understanding, where that's the military-civilian divide, where civilians don't really understand the military experience. So the more types of training that you just talked about, the more effective we will be in changing the mindset of people so these veterans and active duty can get the help they deserve.
I think it's a great program, and I'm anxious to find out more about it. And as you come up with more and more programs, I'm hoping that you can have Kay contact us, and we'll be happy to have you back on to talk about these things. And so I'm looking at their website right now, the cognito.com/demos, and it's called Together Strong.
Correct.
I'm anxious to try that. There are some great programs in here. I didn't realize that it was. I needed you when I was teaching middle school. I see you're at risk of.
I needed me.
but there are all kinds of programs in here. We've got Together Strong. I'm only kidding about, but anybody who's ever taught middle school, you'll know about stress. Family of Heroes, Veterans on Campus, peer programs at risk for middle school educators. These are great looking programs here.
The Veterans on Campus that you just mentioned, there is a currently just released, published article with the Student Veterans of America.
Okay.
It extends this to try to really address the problems that student veterans bring to campus and how faculty are typically have almost zero military cultural competency.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand that. I teach at a local community college and it's, I'm the resident expert and I don't know anything, which makes me really nervous when they ask questions. But
well, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that these programs are something that could obviously, the veterans on campus faculty training looks fascinating to me. And maybe it's something that we can get through the student veterans at the local community college. Maybe we can get some of the faculty to look at them because they do ask, you know. And I can remember going back to school when I was 28, 29 years old, and, you know, it was such a different, there was such a generational gap between the old guy at 28 and the young, you know, the young men and women at 18 and 19.
Oh my goodness.
And
can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone had a faculty member or staff member having the mentality where you have a veteran come in and they're being treated like an 18-year-old freshman?
Yeah.
Turns, I mean, it's unconscionable to imagine. And so this program addresses that. It provides military cultural competency. And it provides the faculty member with practice in how to handle, for example, classroom discussions on veteran-sensitive topics.
Mm-hmm.
How can staff understand when a reservist is being called up, what has to be done? And what happens if a veteran is like manifesting some signs in class of PTS? They're trying real hard, but they're not doing well, and they can't focus. They may have TBI or something. What do you do? How do you talk to that person? How do you help them?
How do you help them? I can remember having a couple of students, veterans, that came up to me and said, "How did you do this?" And I said, "It was really hard sometimes." But,
yeah. You
know, and I think the idea is a lot of times the veterans will come onto campus and they won't let anybody know that they are veterans. And, you know, you want to fit in. You know, you don't want to necessarily stand out amongst everybody else. But, you know, it's a different experience. It's a different life that you've had, and it's something that you need to work on. And people, you know, I find that this generation of students today are much more appreciative of the veterans coming home today. They seem to have a lot of respect for them.
You know what? And, you know, I'm a teacher, a professor, and it's – and I have veterans in my class all the time. And the leadership skills they bring to the classroom, their world knowledge, their experience with cultures, I mean, it is phenomenal. And if the classroom is made veteran friendly, it enriches everybody's experience, including the faculty members.
It really does. And Glenn, I hope you don't mind if I contact you at some time off the air to talk more about this. I think it's such a just so many great programs in here. So I want to encourage everybody to go back, you know, to our website, theveteransradio.net, and you can find this information on there and just click on the link that we'll be putting on there for people to go and tucognito.com/demos, and you've got to look at all of these programs. I think that you'll be able to help out, and you'll be able to help out some friends. And this is what the idea is, I think, for this program and all the other ones that we're talking about. We want these veterans to know that there are people who care about them and there are programs out there that can help them, but they've got to make the move first.
Right.
So, we can talk to them and talk to them and talk to them, but until they want to figure out what's going on, they got to do it on their own. So, Glenn, I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio today. And I look forward to talking to you again in the future. If you have anything that you'd like us to promote for you, we'd be more than happy to help you out.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. So that was Glenn Albright, the PhD, Cognito, co-founder of Cognito.com. Self-help, I guess you could say self-help programs that are available on how to talk with, just basically how to talk with people, how to talk with veterans, how the veterans talk with their families. A lot of good programs here, so I encourage all of you to go to the website, cognito.com/demos, and just check it out. I think this is something that you're really going to enjoy. We got about a minute to go, and what? Nobody gave us a call. Surprise. Well, that wasn't very nice of you. So we're hoping that we want to remind you out there that this is something that we're doing at hopefully every week for the foreseeable future, where we're going to be talking about different programs that are available to veterans and their families to help them. This is important. I can hear the word help. We're not taking over. We're not pushing them. We're not forcing them to do anything. We just want to help if we can. And if we can find an organization that's going to help your veteran, as we mentioned earlier, we've got all kinds of programs around, especially the state of Michigan, and I know all over the country. Not only do you, you know, you can talk to buddies, you can talk to comrades, you can talk mate for mates. You can, there are organizations that will take you fishing, that will take you hunting, that just get you out and about with your comrades. And I think that you'll find that really important, because when you find that you're not alone, it's much easier to open up and talk about some of these things that might be bothering you. So we encourage you to participate in any of these organizations. Go to your local VA, go to your local service organization and listen to them. There's a lot of good men and women there that all they want to do is just help you. Next week, Bob Gould will be here with Rebecca Grant, the expert on everything about the Air Force, planes, jets, and so on. And so until then, you are dismissed.